الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، الله سبحانه وتعالى in Quran al-Kareem, where he mentioned his beautiful names, he says, قُلْ اِدْعُ اللَّهَ أَوْ اِدْعُ الرَّحْمَنِ. Say, call on Allah or call on Ar-Rahman, subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَيَّمَّا تَدْعُوا فَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. Whichever of these you call, he has all the good names. From this we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as he mentioned his name Allah first, right after that he mentioned the name Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahman is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is used the most after the name Allah. At the beginning of Surah Al-Fatiha we find Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about his attribute of Ar-Rahmah, how merciful he is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always mentions it in such a way that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only can say these words that I cannot really say them without having them uttered by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he says, that if a kafir would hear about the rahmah of Allah, will not lose hope in it. This is how much rahmah there. This is how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. So, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, these are two attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that both are driven from the word Ar-Rahman, the most compassionate, the most merciful, the most beneficent. And both of these are driven from the word Rahmah. Sometimes it makes us really wonder when you look at Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And then you look at the same thing in Surah Al-Fatiha, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. If Allah has so many attributes, why did He use an attribute, two of the attributes that are both driven from the same root word? And both are indicating to the similar meaning. If we really wanted to show people how merciful He is, and we would like to use two attributes, we may use the word Rahmah, and then we use another attribute that says He's forgiving, that also a sign of the Rahmah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only that He did not use any other attribute that shows His punishment, He did not even use any other attribute that is a sign of Rahmah. He used the attributes that directly talk about the Rahmah itself. And from this, Mufassireen have driven, and scholars of Islam have understood the point, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this universe to have Rahmah on people, not to punish people. This universe is not created to punish people. مَا يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ بِعَذَابِكُمْ إِن شَكَرْتُمْ وَآمَنْتُمْ. What Allah will get by punishing you if you be grateful to Allah and you believe in Allah? What is He going to get by punishing people? So, the beginning of Quran, at the very beginning of this book of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the purpose of creating this universe is not my adab, is not Jahannam, is not punishment. The purpose of creating this universe is only and solely my Rahmah and my mercy. And this is why, when he started his book with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, See, he uses the word Rabb al-Alameen, the Lord of the universe. Now, who is the Lord of the universe when he is at the very beginning, a newcomer comes to open this book of Allah? Someone would just like to start this book, and he would like some introduction. Who created this universe? What is behind the whole thing? I want to know at least something about him. As soon as you open the book of Allah, the first thing you would find that the creator of the universe is a Lord who is Rahman al-Rahim, who is very merciful. Now, when you look at the word Rahman al-Rahim attached towards the creation of the universe, this makes the point clear to us that everything in this universe created as a Rahmah of Allah. Inshallah, I will talk in little later in some more details about the calamities, the hardships, other difficulties that befall human beings. Why are they befalling us if this is all Rahmah? We'll talk about it a little later. But at this point time, we need to keep this point very clear in the light of this ayah that Rabbul Alameen, the creator and the Lord of the universe, he is Lord and he's such a Lord that he always deals with people according to his Rahmah, according to his mercy. He's Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Then, when we look at the signs of the Rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first thing we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this deen. This deen of Allah is all Rahmah. There is nothing but Rahmah in this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If people who are looking for peace, who are looking for mercy, who are looking for kindness, who are looking for justice, who are looking to have a pleasant and a good life, if they would only follow the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will have such a peace and such a peaceful life, such a peace of mind, that they will be always running away from everything else towards this deen, because this is the deen that is giving them the peace of mind. In fact, how Allah explains that beautifully, and look how beautifully He explains it in Quran al-Kareem, when He tells us, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. The peace of mind comes through the remembrance of Allah. The peace of mind is in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more the people go away from the remembrance of Allah, from the deen of Allah, from following the deen of Allah, the more they are having a disturbed life. Many times we see people having worldly things, and we start envying people for those. Oh, look how successful life is he living. We don't realize that all of these things are still not able to get this person a peace of mind. If this person is neglecting the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all of these things are only adding more disturbance to his life. This is the reality of it. Yes, if with these things a person will add the remembrance of Allah, alhamdulillah, nurun ala nur. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا. Whoever will turn away from my remembrance, he will have a very difficult life. Whoever will turn away from my remembrance will have a very difficult life. وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. On the day of judgment, we will raise him as blind. So, one of the great signs of the Rahmah of Allah on us is this deen of Allah that we have. This is a great Rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on top of this, when we see our souls, me and you, we have such a great mercy of Allah. that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us in the ummah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was sent as rahmatul lil alameen. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. One of the greatest signs of the rahmah of Allah that we see is really the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and for us to be in the ummah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many times people don't realize that deen is rahmah. They don't realize that practicing the deen of Allah, the book of Allah, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are great signs of the rahmah of Allah, and it's one of the greatest pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on human beings that we are able to practice the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are able to remember the name of Allah. Before going into these different signs of the rahmah of Allah, let us talk about some ahadith that will give us some hint, some understanding of what is this rahmah and what is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah narrated in his sahih on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إن الله لما قضى الخلق كتب عنده فوق عرشه إن رحمتي سبقت غضبي. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, when Allah created this universe and He destined everything for people to come in this universe, He wrote it on His throne, إن رحمتي سبقت غضبي, my rahmah will always be ahead of my anger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah is always ahead of the anger. Which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with rahmah more than He deals with His ghadab, with His anger. Yes, sometime Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to show His anger. That is because when people try to say that no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and God only has to be merciful, which simply means that according to some people's understanding, merciful means the person will never and should never get angry. This is being unnatural. This is unnatural for any human being. If a person is known to be very kind, very merciful, and someone taking advantage of that enters this person's home, insults his mother, insults his father, insults his wife, insults his daughter, what do you expect? Should this person still be very kind to that person who's doing all of this and allow him to do more? This is not merciful. This is not a sign of being merciful. This is being unnatural. This is not the nature, a pure nature of any person with right understanding. A person who sees something wrong and does not get upset about it, that person is missing something. Something is wrong with this person. I remember once a person came to one of my teachers and he said to him, I need to ask you something, but I may be rude in asking, so please don't be upset. So he said to him, if you would say something that is supposed to get me upset, I will be upset. Because for me not to be upset is unnatural for human beings. In that case, you may as well go and talk to a wall. The wall will never get upset. Has no feelings. I'm a human being that have a feeling. And I'm supposed to react to everything according to what that thing is. If I smell a fragrance, I don't like it. If I smell a bad smell, I don't dislike it. It's not natural. Then something is wrong with that person. A person who would eat honey and he does not get the right taste of it, and he says, this is sour, this is bitter. This is not normal. So how and why should we expect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that people would do things that they are not supposed to do, and Allah should never be upset with it? But the point is, and the beauty is, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in spite of getting upset, He always forgives and He always deals with people according to His mercy. Although we have done things that should get Him upset, and then He was upset, still Allah has mercy on us. But say you have someone who never gets upset. So for that person, not to react to these things is very normal. A person, say a wall. This wall never gets upset. So if you go and admire in the presence of people, look, I went to this wall and I cursed at the wall for the whole day and I was even beating it up. And I even started picking up bricks and throwing it at the wall, and the wall said nothing. What's good about it? Is there anything that, any good things we are mentioning about this wall, that the wall was never upset and was not able to react to this? But I went to this person and I was very rude to this person and I really misbehaved with this person. And at the end, this person said to me, may God forgive you. Now, yes, you have mentioned a good quality of a person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He does get upset when we do something wrong, and He's supposed to. This is very natural. But subhanallah, when you look at the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is so great, His rahmah, His mercy is so great, that in spite of us spending our lives doing things that upset Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of a sudden a person turns to the other side and says, ya Allah, I made a mistake, please forgive me. And 60 years, 70 years, 100 years of all of his life of full of sins are all forgiven just by these few words. Look at the rahmah. So, always Allah's rahmah is greater than His anger. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu have narrated, as narrated by Imam Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on the day of judgment when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will finish all the judgment, the sinners have gone into Jahannam. The kuffar and the sinners have gone into Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make this announcement. The announcement that we just heard from the hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari, that His anger, His rahmah is always ahead of His anger. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah is greater than His anger. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make this announcement that, look, I have written this on my throne. Inna rahmati sabaqat ghadabi. My rahmah always is ahead of my anger. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show the world, look, I would show you one sign of my rahmah. As a sign that He would show of His rahmah will be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take out one or two handful of people from Jahannam and will take them into Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that these are the people who have always sinned. They just believed in the oneness of Allah and the prophethood of their prophet, whoever that prophet was. They believed in the oneness of Allah and the prophethood of their prophet. And these people never did anything good in their life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take those people out of Jahannam. And these people in Jannah will be known as utaqa'ullahi minan nar. People who have been set free by Allah from the hellfire, they had nothing to show. It was only one iman that was hidden in their heart. Rest of the life is full of mess, full of sins. But utaqa'ullahi minan nar. A sign of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. During one of the battles, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with the Sahaba radwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, they saw a woman that was running around looking for her child. All of a sudden, when she saw her child, she picked him up, hugged him, started kissing him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba radwanullahi alayhim ajma'in are sitting there looking at the scene. And of course, as we know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would never miss an opportunity of giving people a good lesson. He would always grab these opportunities. When he saw this, and the Sahaba who are sitting there, they saw all of this situation, he asked them, أَتَرَوْنَ هَذِهِ مُلْقِيَةً إِبْنَهَا فِي النَّارِ. Do you think this woman would ever throw her son in the fire? They said, no, ya Rasulullah, impossible. Look at how much she loves him. She would never throw him in the fire. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah loves human being more than what this woman loves her son. Now, of course we know that, and he always taught us this, but this was a practical lesson, something that they have seen in front of their eyes, how much she loves her son. And then he's telling them, Allah loves human beings more than this woman loves her child. So Allah does not want to throw people into Jahannam. We are pushing ourselves into it. Just like that beautiful hadith, which is in Sahih al-Bukhari and many other books of hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions about himself. And of course, he is also rahmatul lil alameen. So he mentions about himself. He says, إِنَّمَا مَثَلِي وَمَثَلُكُمْ كَمَثَلِ رَجُلٍ أَوْقَدَ نَارًا. My example with you people is just like a person who is out in the desert and he puts on a fire. As soon as he puts on the fire, all the insects, butterflies, bees, flies, everything would like to come and get into that fire because they like light. Whenever they see light, they like to go into that light. So as this person puts on the fire, all of these insects, they run towards the fire thinking that this is light. This is why they come towards the fire, they think that this is light. But they don't know that if they would get into it, they will be burned. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, this person is very kind who puts on the fire. He's so kind that he doesn't want to see them getting into the fire. He knows they are mistaken over there. He knows that they don't realize this is fire, this is not just light. So as they are coming, he stands over there and turns them away from getting into the fire. Now these insects, they don't understand. They go back, take a U-turn, come back. And they want to get into fire. So he makes them go back again. Then they come back and he makes them go back again. And now all of them are just taking a U-turn and coming back. Every time he makes them go away, they come back. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, this person is trying his best and is standing all the time there, trying to get them away, and some of them, they just keep on coming back and back and back until they get into that fire. He says, فَأَنَا آخِذٌ بِحُجُزِكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَقَحَّمُونَ فِيهَا. Through my teachings, I'm trying to hold you back from all of these sins, and you are pushing yourselves into it, thinking that this is light, and I'm trying to make you understand, this is not light, this is not a beautiful desire, this is Jahannam, this is fire. وَأَنْتُمْ تَقَحَّمُونَ فِيهَا. But you are pushing yourself into it. I'm trying to keep you away. Every time you're about to do something, I'll tell you, no, this is haram, this is wrong, this is not allowed. If we have the right understanding, we will turn to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at every point, at every step of our life to ask him if this is fire or this is light. But many times, we are acting just like those insects. And every time he tells us, no, this is haram, we say, oh, why? I like this light. I want to go in it. And then we take a U-turn and come back, another U-turn and come back, and every time he's telling us, no, this is not for you. As soon as you get in there, you will be burning yourself. This is the situation with all the sins. Anyway, without going to the details of that sin and comparison between the sins and the ma'asi and the sins that things that we are committing in this life, with the light that we think that these are life, these are beautiful desires, these are beauties of the life. That is not the topic. The point here is the rahmah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has on human beings. As part of that rahmah, as a sign of that rahmah, he sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is trying to save us from getting into that fire, into the hellfire, especially in the situations where we feel this is not fire, this is light, and he's teaching us and he's telling us, no, this is not light, this is fire. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also talked about the rahmah of Allah. And in this hadith, he is giving us some understanding of what is this rahmah. How much rahmah Allah has for us. How much mercy Allah has for human beings. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when Allah created this rahmah, he created this rahmah into 100 parts. He divided the whole rahmah into 100 parts. Then he sent one part of that rahmah into this universe. One part of that out of 100, he sent it to this universe. And every creature in this universe that came from the beginning of the creation and will come up to the day of judgment, they all are just taking their small portion and their small share from that 1% of that rahmah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, explaining the point even furthermore, he says, any mother that has any mercy, any kindness towards her children, it's because of her share from that 1% of the rahmah that Allah have sent to this universe. Animals that have rahmah and kindness and mercy towards each other and towards their children, they are getting their share also from that one portion of the rahmah that Allah sent to this universe. So, anyone getting any rahmah, having any mercy, any kindness in this universe is only one portion. And they are getting their share from that 1%. Allah did not send the other 99% to this world. He just kept it up there. This is only 1% that is being divided to all the creatures that came from the beginning and that will come up to the end. Then the hadith continues to say, on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take this 1% also and will add it to 99% that is there, and this is how much rahmah he's going to have on human beings on that day. Imagine the rahmah of Allah. And believe me, we have to understand, and this is a fact, that this is only an example for us to understand. Otherwise, the rahmah is much greater than what we can understand. This is only a simple example so that we can just understand how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And without going into the details of it, we see a surah in Quran al-Kareem. The whole surah is about talking about the rahmah of Allah, and therefore even the surah is named on the same attribute of Allah and the same name of Allah, Surah Ar-Rahman. Again and again in that surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Look how much mercy I'm having on you. How many things I'm giving you. Which of my blessings are you going to deny? فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Which of them are you going to deny? Again and again he reminds us of it. Inshallah, if we will have time, as we will talk about the blessings of Allah, and there are some other attributes that we'll talk about, the blessings of Allah. At that time, if we will have time, we will talk about some portion of the surah and some of the blessings that Allah talks in the surah. But at this time, I just want to concentrate on this attribute of Rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we can understand what is Rahman subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is Rahman, and our connection with Rahman subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before going into some examples of the Rahmah of Allah, and how should we, and how can we see the Rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let me just quickly explain the difference between these two attributes of Allah, of Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. What is the difference between Rahman and Rahim? A simple difference. There are many things that scholars have explained in this regard, and one of the most detailed book that is written on this topic that I have seen, wallahu a'lam, there may be some others that I have not seen, but the one that I have found being the most detailed about it is the tafsir of Imam Razi rahimahullah, known as At-Tafsir Al-Kabir. And the first volume of his tafsir is in 32 volumes. Very fine writing of the Arabic type. 32 volumes. And the first whole volume is only the tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha. And it has so much explanation, such beautiful things in it, that really we cannot even imagine of the explanation that he has explained. And then at the end telling us that I'm trying to keep it very brief because people don't like to read too much these days. This is what he says. So, there is, as I said, there is a lot of details about the difference, but very basic thing for us to understand is Ar-Rahman, according to the Arabic language, means a person whose mercy, whose rahmah, is for everyone. Ammur rahmah. Whose rahmah is for everyone. Which means whether the person is mu'min or kafir. Animals, beasts, jinns, angels, anything, you name the thing, and Allah's rahmah is there for that thing. This is Rahman. Rahim means the one who, when he has mercy, he has full mercy on those people. So, Rahim will refer to having complete mercy. And Rahman will refer to having mercy on everyone. So Rahman and Rahim means the one who has mercy on everyone and his mercy is complete. It's not that he has 1% of mercy or a few or a little bit mercy. His mercy is complete. And at the same time, it's for everyone. And this is why the word Rahman cannot be used for anyone beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because no one in this universe is of that level that we can say that His mercy is for everything in this universe. Living beings or non-living beings. This is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why no one else should be called Ar-Rahman. Yes, as far as Rahim, people can be called Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself used the word Rahim for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran. Bil mu'minina ra'ufur rahim. Laqad ja'akum rasulun min anfusikum azizun alayhi ma anittum harisun alaykum bil mu'minina ra'ufur rahim. So, Rahim can be used for human beings, which means when you have mercy on someone, you have your full mercy according to your capacity. Yes, and we do that. I mean, you love someone and you really have full love for that person. But problem with us is when we have full mercy with someone, we neglect everyone else. And Allah does not neglect anyone because He's Rahman at the same time. If He's Rahim, He's Rahman at the same time. So His Rahman is for everyone. No one is neglected. Where do we derive this meaning from? Let me just explain that also we can understand the beauty of the language. According to Arabic language, it's a rule of the language that any word that matches The word fa'lan, fa, ayn, lam, alif, noon, fa'lan. Any word in Arabic language that will match this word, fa'lan, always the effect of it will be, the meaning of that word will be, that this thing is complete, comprehensive, and is full of it. This is the meaning of anything that comes with the word on the matches the word fa'lan. For example, the word shab'an. Shab'an means, shab'a yashba'u in Arabic language means to be full. Shab'an means a person who's totally full. No more capacity. That's it. He cannot eat more. He's too full. This is shab'an. And another word, kaslan. Kaslan means totally lazy. He doesn't want to do nothing. See, same, matching the same word. Fa'lan, fa'lan, kaslan, fa'lan, shab'an, fa'lan, rahman. Rahman matches the same thing, fa'lan. Which means, rahma is so perfect and complete that he's full of rahma, no more capacity. That's, he's full of rahma. See the beauty of the language when you see it and when you understand the things from the language itself. That is talking about the full capacity of it, that his rahma is for all and it's in full capacity. Never gets reduced. And this is the beauty of the rahma of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, we need to remember, when we are referring to the rahmah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah is merciful. For human beings, remember, kindness, merciful, compassionate is an emotion. This is many times comes behind emotions. You love someone, you are very kind to the person. You are very merciful to the person. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is free from being emotional. So when we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rahman and Rahim, He's compassionate, He's merciful, He's kind, it simply means Allah always does things that is for the benefit of people. Bringing good to people, protecting them from evils. So Allah is Rahman, Allah is Rahim, which means Allah has mercy on all the people, full mercy, which means He's doing good for people and He's always protecting people. Many times when people see themselves losing something, a person lost his job, a person lost some of the family members, God forbid, a person lost something of the worldly gain, right away this person feels that I have lost the rahmah of Allah, I don't know why. And sometimes, God forbid, people after going through some difficulties, a question comes to their mind that if Allah is so merciful, then how come I'm going through these hardships, through these difficulties? Wal'ayyazu billah. Remember, having rizq, having wealth, having health, these are only some signs of the rahmah of Allah. We think that this is all the rahmah is about. If I'm having wealth, then this means Allah is merciful. If I don't have the wealth, then there is no mercy. If I'm not healthy, then Allah is not merciful. Allah will be merciful only if I'm very healthy. On the other hand, a person is missing prayers. Never feels a single day that how come I'm losing that rahmah. A person who did not recite Quran throughout the day, and I don't know if this example will be good for us, maybe throughout the month or throughout the year except for Ramadan, and never feel that he's losing something. Loses $100 and right away he feels that I'm losing the rahmah of Allah. See, we have limited our understanding of the rahmah. To us, rahmah means money. Rahmah means wealth. Rahmah means health. That's it. The greatest rahmah of Allah is the deen of Allah. This is the greatest rahmah of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept this rahmah open for everyone. وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ My mercy encompasses everything. One of the scholars says that once I saw Shaitan in my dream. Shaitan asked me that Allah says, Rahmati wasi'at kulla shay. My rahmah encompasses everything. And you believe that I'm going to Jahannam? How can I go to Jahannam if Allah's rahmah is over me? So he says, I really got puzzled. I didn't know how to answer. So I said to him, no, that is because you are kafir. So he said to me, now in his dream, Shaitan is debating with him. So he says, Shaitan said to me, that are you limiting the rahmah to believers? He says, I didn't know what to say. So he says, then of course he woke up, then some other scholars knew about it. So he said, the answer to it is, that Allah's rahmah encompasses everything. If a person does not accept it, then he's rejecting it. It's just like, here someone says, I have some dates for everyone, and he passes it to everyone, or he puts it here, that everyone should take it. And someone will take it and throw it away. Some people don't eat it, some people don't accept it. So, if this person would go back and complain, that look, that person, he gave dates to everyone, but I didn't eat nothing. Didn't I give it to you? Yes, you gave it to me. So what did you do? I threw it in the garbage. So who's to be blamed for it? If you got it and you threw it in the garbage, you didn't accept it, you rejected it at the same time, then you are to be blamed for it. Allah's rahmah is there for you, and you are rejecting it up to this day. Up to this day, even if Shaitan wants, if Shaitan will obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the door is open. But Allah knows he won't, and he knows he doesn't want to do it. It's only he's rejecting it. Which simply means, if a person would come today, and he would tell us that I'm a sinner and this and this. And why do you think Allah will throw me to Jahannam? Brother, say astaghfirullah. Repent to Allah. Come back. You are rejecting it. Don't blame Allah for it. His rahmah is there for you. He did not close the door for you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah is there. So the point I was mentioning here, that we have limited the rahmah. Our understanding of the rahmah is very limited. We think rahmah means health and wealth. And we took the deen out of the rahmah, wal-ayazu billah. And therefore, when people are not following the deen, they don't feel that they are losing the rahmah of Allah. But when they are missing health or wealth, they feel that they are missing the rahmah of Allah. Remember, there are millions of Allah's rahmah, of the signs of Allah's rahmah. Our eyesight, this is the rahmah of Allah. And you start counting it. Each and every hair in your body is rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each and every breath in your life is rahmah of Allah. And uncountable. So much rahmah of Allah, sometime Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, here, very important thing for us to remember. Sometime Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He pulls some of the signs of His rahmah. He pulls them away from the person. A person who has millions of the signs of the rahmah of Allah, when Allah pulls one or two, right away the person feels that I'm getting punished. In reality, it's not a punishment. Allah just pulled one or two signs of His rahmah. There are still millions that He's receiving. Only few of them that were pulled away, and the person felt that I'm getting punished. This should really make us understand how much rahmah Allah has on us, that subhanallah, out of millions, when we are missing just one or two, right away we feel it. And we are receiving it continuously for years and years of our life. Not a single time we turn back to Allah to thank Allah for all of His blessings. So, most of the time when people call it punishment, really it's not a punishment. It's only Allah pulling one or two signs of His rahmah. And why does He pull it away? That is also part of His rahmah. That is part of His rahmah too. How? Parents are arguing in the house. the son is sick. He needs a surgery. And the doctor said, tomorrow, 9 o'clock, you have to bring your son to the hospital. I'm going to be doing the surgery on your son. The son cried for the whole night to his mother that I don't want to go for the surgery. In the morning, the first thing the husband hears is that the mother says, you are not taking my son to the hospital. I won't allow no one to cut my son. So, they both are arguing. The father says, no, I will take him. Mother says, I won't let you take him. The mother complains, don't you have no mercy? You are taking your son with your own hands, you are with your own willingness to a doctor who is going to cut your son. The father says, this is part of my mercy for my son, that he has to get cut at this time for the surgery, otherwise this disease will spread throughout his body and we may lose our son. This is a sign of the rahmah. This is a sign of the kindness, of the mercy. The father doesn't want that, but he has to do it. So now, taking the child to the hospital for the doctor to cut the child is not a sign of punishment, really. Yes, the son will go through some pain, and it's again, that is part of parents' mercy and kindness towards their child. When human beings go through some difficulties in their lives, it's not that Allah is really punishing them because Allah got angry. Many times, Allah is shaking us up. Wake up, what are you doing? You're heading towards Jahannam. Imagine if a person is driving and he goes to sleep. The person sitting on the passenger side, he wakes him up. Wake up! And he gets upset. Why are you disturbing my sleep? But always remember one thing. In every mercy that people will have in this world, when we have mercy on others, there is some benefit for the person himself. Subhanallah, when Allah has mercy on human beings, there is no benefit for Allah whatsoever. For Allah to remind us, what benefit is he getting? If a person goes to Jahannam, is he going to lose anything? Of course not. It's only for our benefit. Parents, they like to see their child. The least is, they will be happy to see their child being healthy. For Allah, he's not losing anything. But still, Allah shakes us up sometime. Why? So that a person who's heading towards Jahannam will repent. How many times we see a person was suffering, or a person who was having a lot of good time in his life. And from the Islamic point of view, you can really use the word, this person is suffering. Missing prayers, never remembering Allah, never doing istighfar, never coming back to the deen, to the book of Allah. All of a sudden something happens in this person's life. Difficulties befall this person and he's surrounded by hardships. All of a sudden you see the very same person now repenting to Allah, making dua, praying to Allah. It looks like all of these hardships were a punishment, but in reality these are rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this person came towards the rahmah of Allah. He came towards the deen of Allah. So now because of these minor difficulties he's going through in this world, he will be saved from difficulties of the akhirah. What a great rahmah of Allah. So even the hardships that befall people, human beings, calamities befalling people in this world, they all are coming really as part of the rahmah of Allah for the human beings. And if we go into the details of this, again, as I said, really, there is so much, because these are attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they're endless. But we don't want to just be spending days and days talking about one of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, quickly now, looking at some of the signs of the rahmah of Allah. How can we see the signs of the rahmah of Allah? And how can we benefit from knowing that Allah is Rahim? Of course, everything in this our life is a sign of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. whatever we are receiving, anything we are doing, it's all really through the rahmah and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us in the hadith, إِنَّمَا يَرْحَمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الرُّحَمَاءِ. Allah will have mercy on those people who are merciful to others. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الرحمون يرحمهم الرحمن سبحانه تبارك وتعالى. Those who have mercy on others, Rahman subhanahu wa ta'ala will have mercy on them. ارحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء. Have mercy on those who are in this world, the one who is in the heaven will have mercy on you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have said in a hadith narrated in Kinz al-Ummal, on the Day of Judgment, Allah will call upon a person who will be a sinner. His records are full of sins. That person will be ordered towards the hellfire. And after getting that order, this person will turn to Allah and will say, Ya Allah, please have mercy on me. Will beg Allah before going getting thrown into the Jahannam. So he will say, Ya Allah, please have mercy on me. The reply will be, okay, I will. Show me if you had mercy on any of my creatures in that world. Even if that was a bird, even if that was an insect. Show me that you had mercy on someone, so I will use that to have mercy on you. The student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, Imam Muhammad ibn al-Hasan al-Shaybani rahimahullah, when he passed away, someone saw him in his dream. And of course, dream is a dream, but it's a bashara. At least for a mu'min. Someone saw him in a dream and asked him, how was the judgment? He said, when I died. And when the judgment was about to start, the questioning started, I was told, we will put all of your records on the side. You did a lot of service to Deen, but you did something wrong too. Human beings, you did something wrong too. If we start judging, it will be difficult for you. Hisab is hisab. Man nuqish al-hisab udhib. A person who will be questioned and will be asked why, that person will have to go through punishment for sure. So, Allah, he says, after my death, as if I faced Allah and he told me, we'll put all of those things on the side. One day you were writing, in the night time, in the middle of the night, he's writing. And in those days, they used to dip the pen in the ink. So he says, as I dipped the pen in the ink, and I held it thinking about something to write, a fly came and sat on the pen, on the tip of my pen. So I held the pen for a minute thinking that this is a thirsty fly. Where is it going to go and find some water from? Let it drink this ink, and once it's done drinking, then I will continue writing. I held the pen for a minute. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told me, because of the rahmah that you had on that fly, I'm having rahmah on you and forgiving everything that you have done. It's a dream within, as I said. But looking at the rahmah of Allah, even this is something too great for Allah to forgive a person for that. Something minor, smaller than this, inshallah, will get the person the rahmah of Allah. Because we're talking about the rahmah of Allah that is unlimited. Now, what do we understand from this whole talk? What is the gist of it? One thing. Number one. We understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very kind and very merciful, Rahim. What does this mean? Always remember, for anyone who is Rahman, who is very kind and merciful, of course, he will be having mercy on others. So who is receiving the mercy? We are. The ones who are receiving that rahmah, that mercy, they are always in need of Rahman. We are always in need of someone to have mercy on us. This is our relationship with Allah. Now look at the beautiful connection that we have with Allah. That we are always in need of someone having mercy on us. So, who would be that? It could be some people, but those people are in need of someone else having mercy on them.
The only one who does not need anyone else having mercy on him is Ar-Rahman subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't need anyone else's rahmah. He only gives rahmah. Every human being needs it. Every new human being wants it. Rahman subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need it. He only gives rahmah. So Allah is Rahman and Rahim. He has, He's full of rahmah. And He's extremely kind and merciful. And we are always in need of it. There is not a single moment of our life that we don't need someone who can be kind to us, who can be merciful to us. And then, especially when you know the one who controls everything in our life. Who controls everything in our life. If He is so kind, and if we will know about Him that He's so kind, that He really loves me. He loves me more than my parents. He loves me more than anything else. Imagine how much connection we will have with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. This connection that we will have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His attribute of Ar-Rahman is everlasting connection. This connection will always be there if a person would remember the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a connection that never breaks even after our death. Because even after we are placed in our grave, everyone in this world have left us alone. No one came with us. The ones who claim so much love, they with their own hands have buried us under the ground. Now we really are in need of someone to have some mercy on us when we are there with our deeds. And that will be Ar-Rahman subhanahu wa ta'ala who will have rahmah on us even at that time. On the day of Mahshar, on the day of Qiyamah, when we are standing for the day of for the judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ. Everyone will be running away from the person, and this person will be running away from everyone. People running away from their parents, from their children, from their spouses. Everyone who claims so much love, all of them are running away from this person, and this person is running away from them. The only one that we can turn back to hope for rahmah and mercy for at that time, from at that time, is Ar-Rahman subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we have connected now, remember this, if we have connected our souls to Ar-Rahman subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, realizing His rahmah and our need for His rahmah, then at that time we will be turning towards His rahmah and we will be begging for His rahmah and we will be receiving His rahmah because we are used to having that connection. And those who have not established this connection with Ar-Rahman of His rahmah will not be able to connect it at that time, because this is the dunya. This dunya is the time of connecting our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine how important it is for us now to know Allah as Ar-Rahman and realize this attribute of Allah and connect ourselves to the one who is most kind to us. Ar-Rahman subhanahu wa ta'ala. We really, in our life, we all have some people that we are very closely attached to those people. Why? Because they love us. Because they claim that they like us. And they really do like us. But who likes us as much as Ar-Rahman subhanahu wa ta'ala? Who blesses us? Who's having mercy on us as much as Ar-Rahman subhanahu wa ta'ala? In spite of every shortcoming on our behalf and every wrong behavior from our side, it's still He's having rahmah and mercy on us. So connect yourself in this world to Allah as Him being Ar-Rahman, the most kind, most merciful to us. If we have that relationship, then at every step of our life in this world and after we depart this world, we will always be turning to Rahman subhanahu wa ta'ala and we will be always receiving that mercy from Rahman subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember one thing. Remember one thing. That if a person is receiving the rahmah of Allah in this world, will not be deprived from it if he attaches himself to Rahman subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that whenever he needs it, he returns to Allah as Ar-Rahman. And he knows that Allah is Rahman and is merciful. And he has established that connection and he receives it in this world, will not be deprived of it in Akhirah. Allah is not that He's going to give us in this world and will turn us away in the Akhirah. He won't do that. So, this is our connection with Rahman subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the benefit of knowing Allah being Ar-Rahman. So this is the connection. We know that Allah is Rahman subhanahu wa ta'ala. We connect ourselves to Him. And at the same time, we need to adopt this attribute of Allah. How to adopt it? Be kind to others. Irhamu man fil ard, yarhamkum man fis sama. Have mercy on those who are on this world. The one who's in the heaven will have mercy on you. There are so many examples of it in the hadith that people who will have mercy on people in this world, Allah will have mercy on them after they would die. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to connect ourselves to Rahman subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amen. And to understand the real rahmah of Allah that we are receiving day and night. And millions of signs of the rahmah of Allah that are there. May Allah give us the tawfiq and the sight through which we will be able to see the rahmah of Allah. And understand that what we are receiving and how much we are receiving of this rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe, and connect ourselves to it, and may Allah give us that kindness to others also, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the greatest sign of that kindness in this world and for the human beings, as he was rahmatul lil alameen. We adopt the same behaviors of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and be ruhama, be merciful to others. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li sa'ir al muslimina wal muslimat wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. If anyone has a question. The question is, sometimes some atheist would come and ask us a question, like example given here is a question maybe that can God create a rock so heavy that He cannot carry it Himself? Now, the question here is, let's change the phrase of this question, the wording of it. Can God create? Creating is doing something, is it? Okay. Now, let's rephrase the question and say, can God do something that He cannot do? This is what the question really is. But when you put the word rock instead of do, then it confuses people. When you rephrase it, can God do something that He cannot do? Can God create a rock that He cannot carry? Can God do something that He cannot do? What type of question is this? The question itself is meaningless. Okay? Because the question is, He cannot do. What is it that He cannot do? So, can He do something that He cannot do? There is nothing that He cannot do. So why would He do something and that He cannot do?
Is it a sign of Allah's rahmah that He has given time to the shaitan until judgment?
Again, let me rephrase the question in a better way for make it a stronger objection, I guess, in this case now. And that is, Allah being so merciful, so rahim, so why then shaitan has a chance to live till the day of judgment? If Allah had killed shaitan from the early stage, then we won't be going through all of these difficulties and hardships. Okay, let us look in Quran al-Kareem. What does shaitan do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran al-Kareem, وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَعَدَ الْحَقِّ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ. Shaitan will say on the day of judgment, after people are destined to wherever they're supposed to go, he will say, Allah have promised you a true promise. وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ, and I promised you. This is all I did. I promised you and I'm breaking my promise. Now, look at what Allah says next, what Shaitan will tell people. وَمَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. I had no power over you. I had no power. وَمَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ. That day when you went to the club or when you went to a theater, I did not hold your ear and pulled you into there. I did not take pull your leg and pulled you out of the masjid. You decided to run away from the masjid yourself. وَمَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ سُلْطَانٍ. I had no power over you. إِلَّا أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ, except that I invited you. فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. You obeyed me. I just told you, come on, let's go for that, it's nice. And you accepted. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't blame me, blame yourself. Because Allah had promised you, and that was a true promise, and I promised you a false promise, and still you obeyed me. So who's to be blamed for it? So shaitan does not have any power over us to pull us away. Yes, he whispers. And remember, the purpose of creating this world was, and sending us to the world was, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, to try us, who would do good deeds. So, this world is trial anyway. All shaitan does is whisper. Even if he say, what is there is there. Say if he wasn't there, still something else will be there to whisper. Because the world is a trial for us. So that whispering would be there anyway. It's only that now we say shaitan did it. And in fact, Imam Razi rahimahullah said in his tafsir, he says, this shaitan really becomes a mercy for us. Why? Because many times when a person does something wrong and he repents to Allah and he says, Ya Allah, shaitan misled me. So he has an excuse to put it on someone else. So this person has an excuse to put it on someone else and Allah doesn't say, oh, no, he didn't mislead you. Allah says, okay, you're asking me for forgiveness, I'm forgiving you. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, saving protection from shaitan, which simply means we don't want to do something wrong. And if we do it, it's our own choice, but we are putting it on his shoulder.
أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله.